Episode 94, Shabbat by Adina Sussman. Hi, Johnny.
I thought it was 95. 94 works for me, though.
Oh, is it 95?
No, it's probably just me.
I probably didn't change
1994. Good year. Lots of stuff happened. What were you doing in 94?
First year of college.
Oh, yeah. I was probably playing in some dingy basement with my band.
I was probably like in the dorm room bathrooms with my face stuck in the toilet barfing.
Probably,
who knows?
Probably drunk on Mad Dog 2020.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. Welcome to Tasty Pages, episode 94.
Woo.
Yeah. Ooh, we're getting close to 100.
We are. 100.
That's when the
that
big
means
bucks
we're
roll
in syndication. We
yep.
can syndicate.
if you were planning on listening to the newly released Andre 3000 album, hoping to find some bona fide rump shakers, I hate to disappoint you. However, if you're looking for a soundtrack to stream while quietly trimming your bonsai tree in solitude, step to the front of the line.
Wow, you had that one all scripted out.
Yep,
huh?
I did.
Good job.
It's a very divisive release from him. People either love it or hate it. They think it's a masterpiece or a big pass. Nah.
No. I think you're giving it too much salt. It was a big deal on the day that it was released, and now nobody cares.
It was like a week ago.
I know, so nobody cares.
Everyone's in a
Everyone's
in a turkey-induced coma.
We're in a very quick news cycle these days.
As we're recording this, it's the day after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lovely Thanksgiving at my brother's. Mm-hmm. Thanks to him and his wife for hosting, per usual. Some good food.
It's funny because as we were talking about this morning, like as you get older, I feel like hosting, I mean, I can't speak to this because I haven't hosted for a long time, but like I noticed with Carolyn, she's just like not bothered. Like hosting gets so much more easy because I know like when I would host stuff in my 20s, I was just manic about it and everything had to be perfect.
I think some people still stress out about it, but. Thankfully,
it's so much more enjoyable when it's like we're just gonna eat some food and hang out,
yep.
and like things don't have to be perfect. And
I think we were there for like 3.5 hours.
That's all you need.
Perfect amount of time yep. to catch up with friends and family, and then bye bye.
Yep.
So that worked out nice. It was a lovely evening. I should get a few housekeeping things out of the way.
Sure, go do
all
it.
All right. If you go to our website, which is wecookbooks.com, there's a store tab there that will direct you to our Amazon affiliate page. And from there, they've got all kinds of stuff. And they're probably on sale since it's Black Friday. So, you know, be a good consumer and buy up a bunch of stuff. And in the process, you'll support the fine work that we do here at Tasty Pages. We didn't even get any Thanksgiving leftovers.
We did not.
No turkey smoothies for me.
Gross.
Hey, what are we drinking?
I'm drinking a vanilla chai tea.
I'm drinking some leftover coffee from this morning. Go us.
Fun.
Yep. No fun cocktails in this house.
We're like, wah, wah. I'm drinking tea.
Before we dive into some other stuff, I wanted to talk about, we had a couple recent cooking classes mm-hmm. at Cooks of Belcour recently. They both went well. I think they were both nearly sold out, if not sold out.
Mm-hmm. This was a new location.
Yeah, they just opened their third location in the Twin Cities.
And the other chefs have kind of indicated that they don't love teaching there because of the way it's laid out.
Yeah. That was not my experience.
No, I mean, it's a little bit different, but I had a really good time. And like both classes, the people that were in our classes were really fun. So
I kind of like those spaces where this is a very open kitchen. My observation with that location is that the areas that are kind of designated as the workspaces also are kind of part of the store itself. So like if you were to come in there at any other time, you'd have like someone maybe sitting at a table drinking a coffee, doing something on their phone, hanging out. And then during these class times, they actually take over those tables and those areas for like that's where people do all the preparation and cooking and stuff. So it's not exactly like the other ones where The other locations have like a designated classroom, and this is not really like that. Positive experiences for both classes. Really enjoyed them. Anything else to say on that?
I don't think so. We have another class coming up on the 28th.
Yes.
Of December. So, that's
fingers crossed that that actually happens and people are in the mood to do some cooking.
Right. It's a busy time of year for people. People are like wiped out.
Yes.
So If it happens, it happens.
In food news, did you hear about this rare scotch auction?
No, but
you've
I'm
been
sure
following your I'm rare scotch auction news?
I'm sure you're going to clue me in.
Yes. This is via BBC News. A bottle of 1926 Macallan, which was aged 60 years in oak sherry cask, longer than you and I have been alive.
Yes.
It was bottled in 1986. It's one of only 40 bottles known. Sold at auction for $2.7 million. What kind of money, what kind of wealth do you have to have where ain't no thing to be dropping nearly $3 million on a bottle of scotch?
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the scotch is actually good.
My research indicated that prior to the auction, the whoever's responsible for their like spirits and wine and all that was actually allowed to taste a small amount of it.
Oh, they probably went in through like the cork.
Maybe, yeah. Like, I don't know.
That's the only
works.
Yeah.
And didn't indicate that it was like bad or anything. So, you know, I guess
it's just, you know, like how you read about some of those like rare wines. I'm like, that shit's got to be like vinegar.
You bought a bottle of vinegar.
That's disgusting.
Go you.
You just dropped some money on like some malt vinegar.
Yeah. We celebrated our 60-day soberversary.
Yes, we did.
A couple days ago.
Woo.
Good job, you.
Good job, you. This, seriously, I think since I've been in high school, this is the first time I've never had a sip of alcohol on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I mean, because like even in high school, I mean, my mom would let us drink wine and whatnot. And
We weren't asked to leave for doing something awful. Didn't have to have bail money or anything. It was a nice mellow Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you make it sound like we roll a little bit harder than we actually do. We have never been arrested at a family gathering.
No white claws. No excessive white claw drinking at the Thanksgiving table this year. Anything else before we dive into our show topic or show question?
I don't think so.
All right. This was a good one, and this got a lot of response.
I know.
So I'm excited to
like
share these answers.
Like an hour after you posted it, I was like, holy crap, there's like 10 people that have already answered.
Oh, wait. What am I talking about? We've got a few things. Currently working on.
Oh, okay. So we're currently working from Milk Street Simple. This is like the fourth Milk Street
book. At least.
Yeah.
At least. Christopher Kimball, Milk Street Kitchen. Solid books all the time.
Yeah.
We're like right in the middle of this one. Mm-hmm. It's, as the title suggests, quite basic.
It is.
So I don't know if it's my favorite one, but the stuff has still been pretty tasty.
No, but timing wise for like how kind of busy we are right now, it's actually like clicking really well.
Perfect
so,
choice.
Yeah.
Which leads us into what's for dinner tonight?
For dinner, we are doing a lime cilantro garlic marinated pork skewer and some spaghetti squash.
Lovely.
Yes. And also, I'm going to, sometime this week, I'm going to start working out of Snacking Bakes by Yossi Arifi.
And that'll be like another kind of working through it over a few weeks kind of situation.
I was going to start by making a coffee cake, but then I was like, if I'm going to make coffee cake, I'm going to make the Claire Saffitz coffee
which you
cake.
Just did.
I did.
And
it
was delicious.
So good. I love coffee cake.
Does it remind you of your youth?
You know, when I would go to Great Aunt Nettie's after and be made to mow her lawn.
Oh, yeah,
to mow her
drink
lawn.
Hot coffee.
Drink hot coffee afterwards. There was always some kind of Entenmann.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was usually more like a Danish or Entenmann's. Something. Or like those Danish butter cookies that you get in the tin. The tin usually holds like random sewing supplies, but in this case it was filled with cookies.
At one of my grandparents' house, there was always an Entenmann's on the dining room table. Just all the time. Probably there was like a shape on the table from the sun shining in.
That, right? Like there's a shadow.
The hot sun blazing down onto the Entenmann's, heating it up.
Who needs a microwave when you've got the sun?
And if you were to move that, it would probably be a little like rectangle shape, sun faded, burned into the table. I think that's all with that. So, okay, back to the back to the show topic. What is the worst thing you've ever drank? And this could be like alcohol, non-alcohol. We got kind of a mix of both answers. So without further ado.
All right.
You get to start with the first one.
Our aunt, Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry. We love you.
Said slow gin fizz. Ooh. I know I've had a slow gin fizz, but I don't remember. I know it was like before I was of age and I was drinking at a bar in Seattle.
Nice.
But I don't remember
what I would
what
like to
like.
Know is if it was the actual beverage that she did not like, or if it was just the experience of probably drinking too many slow gin fizzes and what happened subsequent to that. But
who knows?
We'll get her on the show.
All right.
We'll interview her.
Leanne Kay said peppermint schnapps.
Okay. Ugh. Yeah. I can see that.
Gross.
Sue T said, Vietnamese basil seed and malva nut drink. I couldn't do it. It was the texture.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah,
but
it sounds like it'd be kind of sludgy.
I have a texture thing, so I'm going to... I will defer to Sue and say, yes, it probably is weird. Melissa G., in general, Coke from a can that my friend used as an ashtray.
Not the last time we'll hear that answer. I think that's a rite of passage with growing up.
It totally
and with,
is.
Teenage drinking.
Yuck.
Oh, and that she had one other one too.
Oh yeah, alcohol wise, cheap lime colored vodka.
So green vodka, I guess.
Gross.
That does not sound good.
No.
Jackdaw was the first, but certainly not the last person to propose Malort.
Everyone's being such a big baby about Malort. It
now,
is not
I know we've covered
gross.
This in a previous episode, but for those unfamiliar, Malort is a spirit that is kind of native to Chicago.
But now you can get it everywhere.
Yes, it is distributed here, even in Minneapolis. Definitely a unique taste. Very divisive, I would say. I think it's kind of a point of pride in Chicago, and so you'll either drink it as a... You know, because
a dare,
yes, or a challenge, or
rite of passage.
Yeah,
you
prank.
Know, nobody just goes to a bar and says, "Give me a shot of Malort."
Oh, I'm sure
you
it happens.
You have to be goaded into like it's a thing that happens. I don't mind Malort at all, but I would never I would never order it at a bar.
And to me, it has a very kind of like astringent taste, almost like Band-Aids.
It's like the white pith of a grapefruit and Band-Aids and burnt rubber all kind of mixed together.
Doesn't that sound great? Pick a bottle up.
Doesn't bother me. I don't have a Malort face either, which is like when you drink Malort, you make this horrible, disgusted face.
I think they have a whole gallery on their social media of the Malort faces. One vote for Malort.
Okay.
Meg C. said, expired kombucha. Does kombucha expire? If so, how would you know? That's my question.
I know, right?
What else you got?
Charlene J. said, it's a mixed drink with peach schnapps and vodka. And we drank so many of them in high school and puked. I get nauseous just thinking about peach schnapps. Yeah. That is like
so.
Gross.
Many a bad experience starts with the word schnapps. It seems like
I feel like peach schnapps was one of those things. Peach and peppermint schnapps was one of those things that like your parents would have hiding out in their liquor cabinet that was like never used ever. So that's one of the things that you would steal. Well.
And then when they did finally reach for it a couple years later, they're like, why does this taste like water? I don't know. Our friend Mike Lowe said, beer with a cigarette butt.
Oh, gross. I'm so grossed out.
You know, on The Simpsons at Moe's Bar, they call that the Duff and Puff.
Really?
It's a signature drink. I just made that up.
Oh.
Give me a Duff and Puff. It's going to be a new thing that's sweeping the nation.
I was like, wow, where did you...
Someone's going to light up a cigarette and then like extinguish it in a can of beer before they hand it to you.
Gross. gross. That sounds like they do it. That sounds like something they do at the Double Down bar in Las Vegas. Have a Duff and Puff to go with your shot of ass juice.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. Ugh. That would be one if I ever drank it.
Oof.
But, well, yeah, right.
Scott O said, another vote from Malort. To me, it tastes like grapefruit with strong notes of gasoline and pencil shavings.
There you go.
That's very, very appropriate.
Ooh. Ooh. of course, Mikey B says this. Creme de banana liqueur, Kahlua, and Tabasco sauce. It's called a gorilla fart, and it was hideous.
Oh, that sounds like a TikTok thing. TikTok ruins everything. That's not even like a thoughtful drink. Like someone just grabbed whatever
it's
they
It's one of those
found.
I dare you to drink yes. this type things.
Like when you were a little kid, you made those disgusting smoothies in the blender.
The suicide shakes.
Yeah, it was just like a pantry cleaning
disgusting.
Thing. Yeah, that's what that sounds like. Alex R. said, tree bark wine.
Hmm.
Leave it. Right? Follow me for more puns.
Oh, my God. All Chuck right. G said Slivovitz and Jägermeister. Is Slivovitz that flavor, plum flavor?
Yeah, we were given a bottle.
Yes, we were.
By a neighbor. And
no, it wasn't Bob.
When we lived in Chicago. Yeah. And like, eventually it got finished. It took a while.
Yeah.
It's a drink that's kind of popular in like Baltic, Eastern European countries and a few different countries manufacture it and, you know, maybe have different ways of, of doing it. But yeah.
And Jägermeister is just disgusting.
But Slivovitz, I didn't mind it. Maybe not mixed together with the Jägermeister.
No.
That doesn't sound good.
No.
All right. What else you got?
Let's see. Dave A. said, early on in my 17 and a half years of living in Berlin, I asked for a dirty vodka martini at a bar that was not used to making them.
How? What kind of bar is not used to making a martini?
In Germany? No.
You don't think?
No.
Okay. Continue.
I described the ingredients to the waitress, vodka, splash of vermouth, olive juice, and olives, and then started to feel a bit uneasy as the waitress headed back towards the bartender. When she returned...
You see them Googling on their phone.
Yeah, right? It's never a good sign.
No.
When she returned, she placed a martini glass in front of me with a clear concoction that also contained some sort of clear bulbous glob floating in it. Looked like a mini lava lamp.
Oof.
I gave it a sip and nearly gagged. She thought I meant olive oil.
Oh,
gross.
Yeah. Not what you want to find.
Ugh.
Nan F said spoiled milk. Yep.
Ick. I just drank some spoiled milk the other day, which is hilarious because we never have like actual regular milk.
In general, we do not.
And yeah, gross. And I drank it. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Go ahead.
Victor K said this super stinky botanical beverage called the Orange Jigger. It kind of tasted like Malort took a dump after eating 50 pounds of orange peels.
That doesn't sound bad to
me. I mean, orange peels would probably improve the taste of Malort, to be honest with you. But
Malort is not bad. You're just a baby.
Yeah.
Joseph P said... kombucha in any way, shape, or form.
I guess he would.
We cannot be friends.
He wouldn't like the expired kombucha.
We cannot be friends anymore, Joseph. Oh, and alcohol-wise, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard agree.
Yep. We got a few submissions from social media. At Mariah Beatty said, I drank Coke out of a can that had been used as an ashtray. Another vote for that. What else you got?
Megan Anigans said...
Yeah, you did it.
I did it. I know. I was like getting nervous. I can never pronounce this name. Said, a shot of Southern Comfort and lime juice swished around in your mouth to mix.
Just like a redneck cocktail shaker.
That doesn't sound too terrible to me. I think if you added like a cream liquor element in there, then you'd have like... a form of a cement mixer.
There was a brief period of time back in those band days when I would drink SoCo, but it's been a long time since I've had that. I don't think I would need to revisit that.
I've taken a pull off a bottle of SoCo in high school, I think. I know.
At Wonder and Sundry said, Zima. Picture this, Victoria.
There's nothing wrong with Zima.
The year's 1993. Zima means winter in Slavic. That's really all I had about Zima.
Wow, that was a buildup.
We were just talking about this at Thanksgiving, that Zima came up in conversation.
Apparently, there were different flavors of Zima that didn't get released.
In 1995, there was Zima Gold, which was marketed specifically to men, and it was supposed to be kind of like a bourbon alternative or something. Zima Pink, they could have partnered with the Barbie movie franchise. Yeah. Missed opportunity. Zima Yellow. Don't drink the Zima Yellow.
Where did these come? Like, I never heard of any of these.
Because I just made them up. Oh. No, the Zima Gold is actually real.
Okay.
They did.
Then again, I was in high school, so I wasn't really like, drink what you get in front of you.
There was a brief time recently when they kind of attempted to resurrect Zima and they kind of
A few years ago.
Yeah. And my sister-in-law, who works in advertising, was telling us how she went to the Coors headquarters in somewhere in Denver, I believe, or Colorado in general. She got to taste some unreleased Zima flavors.
I think I walked in at the tail end of that conversation.
Yeah, so, you know, hey, you can die happy now. Got to taste those rare Zima flavors. Oh, and one more.
Oh,
this,
yeah.
This is the winner by far.
Jack W. Oh, Jack.
We should have mentioned this anonymously to protect the innocent.
That's okay. Whatever. It happened when he was 12.
Yep.
When I was 12, there was a cup of lemonade on the kitchen counter. Turns out it was my sister's urine sample.
Lemonade in quotation marks.
I mean,
that's the Zima Yellow I was talking about.
Pee has a very distinctive smell as you're raising this up to your... Although, I mean, I don't know. I'm so perplexed by that.
So many questions. It prompted more questions than it answered.
Right?
What'd you have for your pick?
Okay. So I have a couple different things.
All right.
Okay. So as far as like the non-alcoholic drinks go, picture this. We're at McDonald's. It's the 80s. Okay. Smoking's allowed.
Sure.
Mom uses my Diet Coke as an ashtray because I said I was done.
Oh, see. I was like, did she just like start doing that without asking you?
No. Okay. So I was yet.
You were warned.
I was another one of the Coke as an ashtray.
Yeah.
It's so gross. It's so, like, I think about it and I'm just like, ugh.
Real missed opportunity for the folks that Coke.
Ashtray flavored Coke.
Coke smoke.
Gross. As far as alcoholic drinks, Bell's Batches 5000 beer.
Oh, that's right.
It was, okay, so this is way back when.
So like this was kind
20 of 20 some years ago. Over
prior 20. To the explosion of like craft beer. And Bell's from Michigan was one of the OGs.
Yeah.
And there was a store. This was when we still lived in Minneapolis the first time. And
we got it at Certix.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I shouldn't be telling your story. Go ahead.
Rude.
I was there. I was witness to it.
Who's got the main character syndrome? Because like every year they will release this celebration
right.
beer. And this happened to be a batch 5000. And it, like, I think we tried.
I don't know what went wrong.
We tried one bottle of it each, and it sat in our fridge for forever. It was like licking a dirty boot.
It was really gross, and it was expensive.
It was like $20 for like a six pack.
Yeah,
20 some years ago, that was expensive.
Yeah,
and it sat in our fridge for forever. Also, alcoholic wise, the bacon infused martini from the Double Down.
Oh yeah.
Because I got one the last time we went there, and I was like, this is really terrible.
Yeah. Because it had like some bacon grease in it or something,
I don't know what it had.
Wasn't it a weird texture, too?
It was like, the mouthfeel was gross, and then it also had like, it just kind of tasted like, remember when we made those smoked ice cubes? That's what it tasted like.
Those might have been on my list.
Oh my God, those are so...
Anything with smoked ice cubes in it. I'm still tweaking the recipe, the method. No. Haven't quite perfected it yet.
No. Are you working furiously on the ICE program?
I am.
All right. What about you?
ICE sommelier. Remember the year is 1996. Remember Orbitz?
Oh, I love that. I mean,
introduced by the Clearly Canadian Corporation.
I remember you bringing one of those home.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that's weird.
This was something I drank regularly. So this was like when all the clear drinks were all the rage. So you had like clear Pepsi and Tab clear and all that stuff. And this
all
was
the
kind of
super sugary Zima. Flavored mineral waters.
Like, this was all around the same time period. And so this was like a sparkling water, fancy water, but they had different flavors. And then they had these probably tapioca balls.
Yeah.
Or
I mean,
gelatinous balls that were like floating around in there. And they also were like different colors.
It was
and
like
stuff.
Boba basically, but they were very small.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they had different flavors. So they had like raspberry citrus, strangely, pineapple, banana, cherry, coconut. That's too many.
Get it all in. Yep. Get it all in.
Pick two. You don't get to pick four. Kind of looked like a lava lamp.
Yeah.
Like a little mini lava lamp.
Yeah, I remember I didn't dig those because texture-wise.
You're drinking something and then like all of a sudden
and then you're like, I
got to
chew
chunks.
Now.
Yeah, the drink you can chew. That's the
right?
missed opportunity.
I know.
That's what they should have called Orbitz, the drink you can chew. But they had this weird advertising campaign too that centered around how this was developed by like aliens from like some planet or something. And
oh, I don't remember that.
They had this whole thing that they were trying to lean into, and it just fell flat. And
oh, sure,
it was
okay.
Weird. Somewhere there's a warehouse full of pallets of Orbitz, unsold Orbitz. I wonder if you can get those on eBay. You know someone's probably selling one.
Well, they probably, you know, like when you go to those specialty candy stores that sell like all the nostalgia candy.
Do you think
I'm
these
sure
would,
they would have those
Do you
there.
Think these would age as well as that rare bottle of scotch?
Probably sold, even
maybe,
better.
You know, maybe 20 years from now, we'll be talking about some rare Orbitz auction that took place. Alcohol-wise, Laphroaig scotch. Which was the very peaty stuff that we tried to drink one time.
Yeah.
We were all excited because we were trying to
broaden our scotch horizons.
Yeah, like learn more about, you know, scotch and Irish whiskey and whatnot. And this was recommended by someone who apparently is really in love with the peat forward scotch.
Did Tracy?
Yes.
Yes. She liked the peaty stuff.
Yep.
We should have known better.
And man, talk about something that tastes like an ashtray.
It was like chewing on a Band-Aid, I thought. Like, it had that really like
It
plastic,
was very smoky too. I remember that. And so, you know, talk about those Cokes with the cigarette in it. This
Gross.
Was kind of like, you know, a scotch version of that.
Oh, maybe our palates are just like super uncultured. I don't know. I just know that I don't like the super peaty.
I got one more for you.
Okay.
This is not something I have personal experience with, but it when I was doing some research for the show, this is via Chowhound, and this is called the cement mixer shot. Ever
I just referenced
this?
A cement mixer.
Yeah.
Were you not listening to
so,
me?
This is equal parts Irish cream and lime juice. The lime juice causes the cream to curdle, obviously, turning the drink into a thick sludge, similar to cement. It's a popular shot at bars, at some bars, I guess. I've never heard of anyone ordering this, but apparently if you go to the right place, you order a cement mixer, they'll hook you up. It's usually ordered as kind of a prank or a dare, and typically the drinker would do the shot and then shake their head vigorously to mix the ingredients in their mouth, which would trigger the curdling process. It's the same chemical reaction, coincidentally, as like how ricotta and cottage cheese are made.
Yeah, it's an acid reaction.
Yep. Or you, when you don't have buttermilk on hand. And
you make buttermilk.
Yeah. Disgusting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You going to get a cement mixer next time we go out?
No.
Oh. Anything else on gross drinks?
No.
All right. That was a good one. Good topic. Should we dive into the book?
Sure.
Shabbat.
All
by
right.
our friend Adina Sussman. Not really, but one can dream.
We'd like to be friends. She seems like a very nice lady.
I believe this is her second book. Mm-hmm. Sababa being the first that I think ended up on our top list of the year a few years back when it was released. Still have it on our bookshelf. Big fans. Follow her on social media. Do you have thoughts about like how this is maybe different or similar to the first book?
Here's the thing. I was like super duper excited for this book, but with the amount of stuff that I can't eat in it, I feel like I didn't get to experience as much as I wanted to. Like, I would love to make all those challahs and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, so that's no reflection on the book. I feel like there was more simple dishes in here because everything that we made was really simple.
Yeah. And I think it probably had a more of a focus on like entertaining, cooking for groups of people, celebrating the Shabbat holiday. And so that was the focus. But if you liked the first book, I think there's a lot to like about this one as well. And it's kind of a continuation of that. So maybe start with talking about what we made from the book, and then we'll discuss it in a little bit more detail.
Sure. We made seared broccoli with the caper vinaigrette, cucumber apple salad, colorful vegetable kugel, springy vegetables with creamy basil dressing and runny eggs, and a shaken iced tahini coffee.
Lovely.
All right.
Let's talk this seared broccoli and caper vinaigrette dish.
Okay. This, I mean, it's super simple, and full disclosure, we threw our broccoli in the air fryer we could do it all at once.
And I believe the recipe called for broccoli. We used broccolini, which we often do. You know, when it instructed you to cut these
into like steaks.
Yeah, like we didn't have steaks. We had more like broccoli toothpicks.
Florets.
that we threw in the air fryer. So we didn't follow the recipe exactly as instructed. I think the results were similar.
The results were the same. Yeah. I mean, it was nice and charred. I loved that caper vinaigrette. I thought the caper vinaigrette was really good. It was like lemon juice, capers, parsley, shallot, and chili pepper. It's like salty, zingy, a little bit spicy. It's a good, I feel like that is like, that would be like a really good vinaigrette to have in your back pocket.
Yeah. And it would be equally at home on some eggs or a salad.
Eggs?
Yeah.
You're putting vinaigrette on eggs?
I think this particular one would be great on eggs.
Okay.
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know. It just never occurred to me to be like, I need a vinaigrette for my eggs.
People would put like hot sauce or something on eggs. So why not throw this on there?
Yeah.
Because it's got a lot of the same like, you know, flavor components. There was a little bit of heat on there.
I get it. Yeah. I never think of putting
vinaigrette
extra
people.
On eggs.
That's what we're saying.
I'm like, eggs.
Yeah, really simple. I mean, I think we stayed kind of in the shallow end of the pool with a lot of these recipes just because of we had to be reasonable about like the time we had available and just had a lot going on. So, you know, we kept things pretty simple. Most of these recipes were simple in ingredients and maybe took like one or two steps to complete. So,
yeah.
Anything else on this?
No, I liked it.
Yeah.
I definitely love the vinaigrette.
Yes. Next one was the cucumber and apple salad.
Mm-hmm.
We've made stuff like this before. There was a little bit of red onion in there. I think we both agreed that it could have been improved by maybe some kind of salty cheese element.
I felt like it wanted an earthiness, like a super aged cheddar or like an aged manchego.
Yep,
or
that's what I had in my notes.
Or like a Parmesan, like a grana padano or something.
It did mention in the recipe as like an alternative or an option that you could throw some feta in there. And I think that would have been great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was super simple. It was just, like you said, cucumbers, apples. We used Macintosh. Macintosh are my favorite apple.
I don't know if I have a favorite apple.
I do. I'm that jerk. The vinaigrette is apple cider vinegar, olive oil, a little bit sugar.
Hey, Victoria, you should put that on some eggs.
Yeah. Eggs? What? the salad was like really nice and herbaceous, a little bit tart and sweet. This was a good one. This, like, I would actually bring that salad to a gathering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Colorful vegetable kugel.
Yes. So it's occurring to me that a lot of what we made from this book were like kind of side dishes.
Yeah.
And so most of them we did have to, usually in this case, we'll get like some sausages. We'll get some chicken thighs to throw on the grill, something like that. So this was like a continuation of that theme.
Let's see the kugel.
Not to be confused with those exercises that some Kegels? Women do too. Improve their pelvic floor. We're not talking about that. That's a different podcast.
I'm doing Kegels right now.
Whoa.
Just kidding. I'm not.
Should I leave you alone? You want some time by yourself? Kugel. The Cougs.
The Cougs.
Let's talk about the Cougs.
This was potatoes, zucchinis, carrots, and onion. Mr. Ballmer was just going to shred these
fucking
with a box grater.
Man.
So it would have been like this big melange of like shreddy, short shredded vegetables, but no.
But once I squeezed the liquid out of it, I could have made like a softball, a
right?
vegetable softball.
Right.
Delicious.
But no, I was like, no, we got to make this pretty.
Yeah.
So I took one for the team and used the julienne peeler and julienned all the vegetables.
In long strips.
In long strips.
And it worked lovely.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, the end result.
Yeah, this was like super simple. All you do is you take all these veggies.
There literally are two steps to this recipe.
Yeah, you shred or ribbon your veggies. You have to squeeze out the potatoes and the zucchini. Otherwise, you'll end up
with a real workout.
I know. Otherwise, you'll end up with a wet mess. This just gets mixed up with egg, oil, and potato starch.
A little binder
like a
for you.
Thickening agent.
Goes in a casserole dish and...
baked for an hour.
Yep.
I would love to have this like smothered with like a...
some of that caper vinaigrette?
No. Be quiet with your caper.
But we have so much left over. We need to use it up.
I think like a chicken pot pie filling would be really good on that.
Oh, yeah.
Or like a nice spicy sausage gravy.
I can see where you're going with that.
Sure, yeah. I think just put something on top of it. It would be super good.
Yeah. It's nice because it gets like the top gets this nice char to it. So, you know, when you take a bite, you get those like
it's
really
crunchy,
crispy
yeah.
edges. Yet it's still a little bit like softer inside, but you know, still cooked obviously. But yeah, this was great. It makes a lot, so be
yeah,
prepared.
it's a 13x9
yeah.
baking dish. Although I mean, it's veggies.
Yeah.
So you can eat like a I can eat like a quarter of it in one sitting.
Yep. And then next we did the springy veggies in the fall with creamy basil dressing and runny eggs.
So this is a salad. This is like a salad with green beans, pea pods, shelled peas. It called for, I can never find little gem lettuce anywhere. I've seen it. I know you said you just saw it. I've seen it in the grocery store once.
Yeah.
So we just use romaine.
Yeah.
But where in the fuck do you get little gem? I never
Trader
ever...
Joe's has it. At least they do for this week.
I've never seen it there before.
See,
ever.
That's how they hook you in is they come up with something. Like we were there today and I was looking for the little tube of tomato paste that we've gotten there before and
they didn't
nowhere
have
to
it.
Be found. Mm-hmm. Probably discontinued. And now you have to buy something different. And you know, that's how they keep you coming. They release all this stuff, and then just when you get an affection for it, nope.
They yank it away.
Yep.
Yeah, they're seasonal stuff. It's so disappointing.
Yeah. Made some perfectly cooked soft-boiled eggs for this. Nice and jammy. This was great.
It seems like it takes a lot of work, but
this is the word this episode that you're going to struggle with. I love it.
In actuality.
Now you're just going to say it all the time.
Right?
Use it in every sentence. In actuality.
So what you have to do is blanch all the vegetables individually. You can use the same water for everything. It takes probably like 5 minutes total.
Yeah.
Just refill your ice bath with ice. Super duper simple.
Yeah.
And the dressing is super good. It's like pretty much all basil. It's made like 2 cups of basil, some lime juice, some garlic.
Yep.
Super herbaceous, green tasting, fresh tasting.
Did you hurt yourself over there?
What is my deal?
Good thing I have this little foam wind guard on the microphone so you didn't like chip a tooth or something.
Fuck. I'm having issues where I just keep choking.
You had quite the episode last night at Thanksgiving.
I almost died last night at Thanksgiving.
It was funny because you weren't drunk or smoking a doobie.
I wasn't drunk, smoking a doobie. I wasn't really chewing on anything. Nope. I just started like, something went down the wrong way and I had to like leave the room.
I think you have a piece of spicy sausage in your lung still.
I think so
just
too.
Rattling around in there.
I was like, oh my God, please somebody rescue me. I could not stop coughing.
I was standing by prepared to give you the Heimlich.
I was seriously.
Whether you needed it or not.
I was afraid I was going to pee my pants because I was coughing so
hard.
That
I probably
hard.
Couldn't help you with. You're on your own there.
I was coughing so hard. I was like, this is not going to end well. I'm going to pee. But I didn't.
That would have been quite the event at the Thanksgiving gathering.
I mean,
Victoria Peter Pants again.
Okay, full disclosure here. I'm an old lady, and once I get the urge to pee, I'm like, I just have to go run and pee. There's no waiting.
So when we do this podcast, we have a bucket next to Victoria.
I'm just sitting
Not
on
really.
The bucket.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I don't even have to get up.
Are you trying to make me horny? All right. Last one, shaken iced tahini with coffee.
So this one was pretty much you. I had a sip.
Yeah.
It's coffee with tahini mixed together in a cocktail shaker.
It was giving me like peanut butter smoothie vibes, but maybe a little bit more sophisticated.
Yes.
A little more creamy.
It had like a mouthfeel of like a smoothie shake type situation. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
But like, that's the kind of thing that I don't want to waste calories on.
Yeah. No, but I enjoyed it. I usually have a smoothie in the morning and, you know, so this was like a perfect choice. Should we discuss our reviews?
Sure.
And before we do, per usual, let's go to Amazon and share the most critical Amazon review from purchasers. There were no 1 or 2 star reviews, thankfully. I found a 3 star review. You want to read that one?
Sure.
Okay.
This was from Nunya. I'm taking that Nunya business. Three out of 5 stars. They said, let down. I was excited about this book. I ordered it months in advance, and honestly, I should have borrowed it from the library before purchasing it.
In actuality. I wish they would have elaborated on that because you don't know what it was specifically that they didn't enjoy about it. Because if they were excited and they presumably were familiar with the first book, I didn't see any reason to be disappointed, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we discuss our rankings?
Sure.
All right. Food photography and styling.
So the food photography was done by Dan Perez, and the styling was done by Nurit Karen.
Shout out to them.
I gave it a 4.
Okay.
Okay, so honestly, when I was looking through this, I was like, these photos are kind of simple, and it actually reminded me of the photos in our feed. Because there's a little bit of... nothing was overly done. Oh, here.
Well, then in that case, you should give it a 5.
So, like, the food is, like, really simply styled, and it looks inviting and appetizing, and the props that are used are minimal. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no big, for the most part, there's no big spreads. Like, there'll, you know, you'll have a plate and some cutlery, side dish, whatever. Mm-hmm. There, like, I feel like this book doesn't have, like, a targeted aesthetic photographically. Mm-hmm. You know, like how some books will be like, make it 60s or let's do cottagecore. Like,
yeah,
this was not like this. It was like, we're
there
gonna
seems to be like a flood of books mm-hmm. recently where they're really like leaning into that kind of 70s like kitschy aesthetic, and
yeah.
That means that a lot of the photographs are both styled and treated to look like that,
yeah.
Like with the kind of weird.
It looks gross and unappetizing.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Me.
So thankfully that did not happen with this.
Well, it's funny because it kind of seems like a pendulum. Like that seems like a pendulum swing. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like for a while everyone was doing like the Allison Roman type. You know, hands in, grab, yeah, you know, everything, everything's like blown out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guilty of that too. Whatever.
That's kind of like the Food and Wine aesthetic too. Like if you look page through that magazine, like so many of the photos are just like oversaturated and like very enhanced colors and yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I love the lighting. Mm-hmm. It appears to be like a lot of natural lighting because of the hard shadows and the mm-hmm. angles. And if that mm-hmm. was like studio produced, kudos to you because I can't do that. I don't have the equipment to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing I miss about our house is we used to be able to photograph with hard light and we just don't get light in here.
I mean, we have a whole wall of windows on one side of our condo, but unfortunately the lighting is not direct.
No.
So there's very few opportunities to capture some natural shadows and direct sunlight.
So, I mean, I love, love, love that lighting. Mm-hmm. Huge variety on the props. You didn't see a lot of mm-hmm. Repeats like on the props and the dinnerware and the crockery. The backdrops had a lot of interesting prints and patterns. Mm-hmm. And again, it was widely, there's a wide variety of prints and mm-hmm. patterns and mm-hmm. they were barely repeated. I think that's about all I have to say. I like the photography. I mean, I'm just going to shut up.
Well
what
said.
About you?
I gave it a 5.
Okay.
Particularly noticeable and noteworthy were the choice of surfaces to photograph the dishes on, which one thing you mentioned, it was a real mix of these vibrant fabrics and kind of interesting surfaces.
Tiles and stuff, yeah.
Again, I echoed your comment about the expert use of shadows. Some of the photographs have an almost three-dimensional quality to them, so the images just really leap off the page. Had this very kind of inviting, rustic preparation of the dishes, which fits nicely with kind of the home cooking focus of the mm-hmm. book. Tasteful selection of dishes and utensils, like you mentioned. They appear to have been vintage, and they have just that right amount of patina. So they had little chips on them or little marks. It was really difficult for me to find any fault with the photographs and the styling in this book. Did you hit your knee?
Yes!
Your whole body is just a collection of like small injuries.
Can we stop? Let's just put me in the ground already. God.
I think we just need to wrap you entirely in bubble wrap. I'm going to make you for Christmas. I'm going to make you a bubble wrap jumpsuit.
Good. I'll wear it gladly.
And then we'll probably have to get some kind of helmet for you too.
There we go.
Design and layout.
Oh,
what did you have?
I went first. What did you give it?
I gave it a 4.
Okay.
The book cover is very eye-catching and mm-hmm. vibrant. The chapters are divided into type of dish, including kugels. There's a whole kugel chapter.
To be fair, I was like 5 kugels, but I mean, it's still a chapter.
Yep. There was a challah bread and cracker chapter. There's like fish main courses, Sabbath stews, which I presume is for listening to the English heavy rock band Black Sabbath when you're cooking. At least that was my interpretation. Mm-hmm. Adina is a very skilled writer, and her recipe head notes are a delight to read. Some stretching on for a few paragraphs, so probably a little more lengthy than typical recipe introductions. Like I said, a delight to read. Recipes include both active and total time estimates. Font size was a bit small for these tired old eyes. Likely due to the amount of text that they had to fit within the pages. Scattered throughout the pages are various profiles of different friends, family, and places important to the author. Makes for a nice read, and she shares their stories. There's one font used throughout the book. Not sure of the type. I tried to find out like what it was, but I didn't have any luck. It's included in, you know, they might have something like pork loin, and then it'll say like with mustard and horseradish dressing, almost like a subtitle to the recipe.
Yeah.
And that particular font that was used kind of leaned a bit too like what I would consider like kind of trendy or whimsical. Yeah, it's underneath the bold title of the font.
Well, also, this is the font that's used in listing the dishes.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't like that font at all. It really bothers me.
I don't like when cookbooks use...
It's really cutesy.
Yes. It's maybe not quite Comic Sans, but
it's pushing the boundary.
It's wandering into that territory. Mm-hmm. And so like that, I guess that was one of my only critiques, and that's, it's a design choice. It's just, I think it has the potential to kind of date a cookbook a bit, and
right.
I wasn't crazy about it. Yeah. So I think that's, my assessment for design and layout. 4. What'd you have?
I gave it a 4 as well. I feel like the book was organized like pretty cleanly and straightforward. Mm-hmm. The general, like just general formatting, it's like the pages are kind of broken down in the top half and bottom half. In the top half, oh yeah, it's got the recipe, the head notes, and then it's got your times, your cook time.
Right.
Which I love when cookbooks put that in there.
The recipes themselves had a pretty clean layout, I thought.
They did. Because the bottom had the ingredients, and then on the right-hand side was the preparation. And like you said, there were some essays. But other than that, there was a very, very small pantry section. It was like 2.5 pages. Other than that, there wasn't like a ton of extra stuff, extra information in the book. It felt really to the point.
Does anyone ever buy one of these cookbooks that have the kind of requisite pantry section, and before they dive into like cooking recipes, they're like, gotta go to the store, and then they like gather up all the, you know, tahini,
I don't know, like maybe
za'atar, all this stuff.
I could see that happening, like someone like, yeah, I'm really gonna learn how to cook and I'm gonna get into this.
Yeah,
and like someone who does not cook at all. Yeah. And they're like, this is what I'm gonna do.
I mean, most of the time it's stuff that we have on hand. Yeah. Already, so it's just kind of like a nice little reminder, but I just was curious about that.
Yes.
Thought came to mind.
Degree of difficulty, I gave it a 2.
Okay.
Admittedly, we chose really, really simple dishes.
Yep.
But the method and instructions are very clearly laid out. They're very concise.
We stayed on the Fat Freddy for this, right?
Oh, yes, the Fat Freddy.
Right?
Yes.
Little gymnastics reference for you.
Gosh, you really do listen.
What does this creepy old man know about gymnastics?
So when I used to do gymnastics, we had for trying to practice during the hard tricks, there was a beam called Fat Freddy that was like 9 inches wide, as opposed to 4, and it only sat like 3 inches off the ground. So any trick you wanted to try, you did it on Fat Freddy first.
Yep. Before you graduated to the skinny death trap.
Yeah. The skinny death trap that's like 4 feet off the ground. Yes.
Yep.
How did I ever do that? Like, I can't even climb up a...
You can't even sit here to do this podcast without smacking your knee on the coffee table.
I can't climb up a step stool without fearing for my life that I'm going to fall over and break something.
You know, there's a very real possibility.
I totally get the vapors. I'm like, Johnny, you have to get up on this step stool.
If someone's going to die, it's got to be you. Thanks.
I can't break my precious neck grabbing the cereal down from the shelf.
Anything else on this?
No.
All right. I gave it a 2 as well.
Okay. Look at us.
Yeah. Pretty simpatico. Most recipes will be easy to execute for the competent home cook. Few of the recipes might require more advanced skill level, but like you said, admittedly, our choices kept us firmly in the shallow end of the pool due to time constraints, mostly.
Shallow end of the pool.
Maybe some laziness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
No apologies. All right. Taste?
I gave it a 4.
Woo!
Yeah. Everything that we made was really good. I feel like if we would have, we really should have tried to do something more involved, like a stew or whatever. Something where you can really develop flavors
and let it go. The book is staring me right in the face.
I know.
We could do it.
Yes.
If we really applied ourselves.
We're not done with this book. We'll investigate it further. 4.
All right. I gave it a 4 as well. Adina is very skilled at presenting traditional recipes with the occasional modern twist, although some of them stay pretty traditional, so it's kind of a mix. Mm-hmm. There was only one recipe that came to mind, that aforementioned cucumber and apple salad, where, you know, we both agreed that it needed some kind of element, like a salty cheese or something. I think I speak for both of us when I say we both, you know, enjoyed everything that we made. The tahini smoothie, it was fine. Eh. Based on your rankings, for you, is this a buy, borrow, or banish?
I think I'd borrow it. Mm-hmm. Just because there are so many recipes in here that I can't make.
Yeah. Because of your gluten intolerance.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, all those recipes look amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would.
It eliminated all the baking stuff.
It did, which makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because the recipes from her previous book.
That challah.
Oh, ooh, my God.
Yeah. I still think about that.
I know. I'm obsessed. And it made, like, so, yeah, I'd say borrow.
Same.
Okay.
I would give a slight edge to the first book, Sababa.
Yes.
If you want kind of simply prepared, delicious, traditional Jewish recipes. But this is a great companion to that. So I would say borrow it, see what you think. And then you can decide whether you want to buy it or banish it from your life forever. I can't see that happening.
But, okay.
Now we've reached the Gastro Obscura section of the show, exploring the weird and wonderful culinary traditions, experiences, and ingredients. What do you have for us today, Victoria?
All right, so here are 12 things, keeping with the theme of the book. Mm-hmm. Here's 12 things that you did not know about Israeli food.
Well, considering I don't know much, that is right? Probably a fair statement.
Okay, well, get ready to be schooled. Oh.
This is like
going to school.
Yeah, going to school.
All right.
Furthering my education.
Okay. The cherry tomato was engineered in Israel.
Oh, I like a good cherry tomato.
Yeah, it was engineered by two Hebrew University professors. We were given the perfectly healthy snack and ingredient.
They were like, make it tomato, but smaller.
Right? Make it tomato, but cute and little.
I want some tomatoes I can carry around in my pocket.
Israeli children are less likely to have peanut allergies because they grew up eating bamba. For those of you who do not know what bamba is, actually they have them at Trader Joe's.
They do.
They're like a peanut-flavored Cheeto, kind of.
Yeah.
Without the cheese on the Cheeto. It's like a corn puff with...
More like a sweet snack than a savory
snack. Yeah, it's like a corn
snack.
Puff with like a peanut butter coating.
Yeah.
They're yummy. I love them.
Yeah.
So yeah, but kids eat this, so they have exposure to peanuts. Because nowadays, I guess they're telling, you know, they're like, don't feed kids peanuts for the first 2 years because you don't know if they're allergic. But wouldn't, like... It makes sense that if you're exposing kids to something, they'll...
Isn't like some stuff that you would give to, if you're having like an allergic reaction to something, like I'm thinking like bee stings or snake bite or something, isn't like the anti-venom works? But
I think anti-venoms are made from venoms.
Right. That's what I was getting at. Is like
peanut butter? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Here, try it just a little bit. Someone's got some insane allergy. Don't listen to me. Tasty Pages cannot be held responsible for the actions of others when you have a peanut allergy. Do not follow our advice.
Right? Schnitzel is an Austrian food, but is also eaten in Israel as well. The Ashkenazi Jews from Europe brought the schnitzel with them since they were like of Germanic origin.
Yeah.
But unlike the Vietnamese schnitzel, Israeli schnitzel is often topped with sesame seeds.
Makes sense.
Little twist on it.
Yeah.
Shakshuka, number four. Shakshuka was introduced by two different groups of Jews. For those of you who don't know, shakshuka is a Middle Eastern brunch food that's made with tomato and eggs. It was introduced by Tunisian Jews and Maghrebi Jews.
And it's baked in the oven.
Yep.
The eggs are kind of cracked into little pockets that you hollow out.
They stay nice and runny.
Yep.
Delicious.
We haven't had a shakshuka in a while.
You can make a green version, which is herby and delicious. Baklava, the number five. Baklava is also popular in Israel.
originated in Turkey, correct?
In the Ottoman Empire. Yep. Yep. Yeah, you can find it in Jewish and Arab markets.
I think that's a fact that I knew.
Yeah. Number six, Israelis use a lot of olive oil, just like we did.
That's Is that a hot take?
That's a dumb fact. Like, yeah. Stupid.
Next.
I know. Okay, so they have pop candy as well. This is number
what
seven.
Candy?
Pop candy, you know, like Pop Rocks?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But theirs is in chocolate form, which I think is really interesting. It's like, they look like, they're like Kinder Bars, and they have like this white little nicotine thing, and then there's like chocolate Pop Rocks.
Ooh, you know what would be good is the Orbitz, but have those balls like explode in your mouth. Wait, that sounds weird.
Yeah, sure.
No one wants balls exploding.
No.
Okay, next.
Number eight. Hummus is popular enough. It's so popular that you can get hummus ice cream.
Okay, I would try that.
I wonder how the mouthfeel is.
Yeah, because it could lean a bit like grainy texturally.
Yeah, like you get that like type thing. Like, sorry, that noise was disgusting. I hate that.
This is our ASMR podcast. No, but I could see that, and I would definitely try that if given the opportunity.
Agree. Tel Aviv. This is crazy to me. Tel Aviv has the world's third most sushi restaurants per capita in the world.
Next to?
Next to NYC and Tokyo.
Okay.
Who knew?
I probably would have guessed Tokyo and NYC, but not Tel Aviv for number three. Interesting.
Chocolate milk is sold in little... it's sold in bags and also in little snack packs.
Bag of chocolate. Hey, honey, can you pick me up a bag of chocolate milk?
Like Capri Sun.
Oh.
Like a little snack.
Juice box.
Yeah.
A little milk box.
Huh. Sure, I'll take a chocolate milk. Per capita, Israelis are the world's biggest consumer of fruits, vegetables, and chicken.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe all at once?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
What's for dinner?
What's
fruits,
for
vegetable,
dinner?
And chicken.
All right. Okay.
Those are some fun facts. The olive oil one, it's kind of a given. But
there was one that I just skipped. It was like, their breakfast is really huge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Cool. Great.
Thanks for the hot tip.
They've got a big breakfast. Okay. So that's done. If you enjoyed the show, please rank and review us. You can follow us on our social medias. Our Instagram is at we_cook_books. And our Facebook is at wecookbooks.
All right. So in honor of Thanksgiving, which was yesterday, I thought I'd humor you with some Thanksgiving food jokes.
Uh-huh.
Get ready. Buckle up.
Shall I climb off my bucket?
If you must.
Although I might laugh so hard, I'll start peeing.
What do you call a sad cranberry? A blueberry. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Do you know how does a turkey travel? By the gravy train.
Oh, I heard that one last night. Someone told that one last night.
The gravy train joke?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think you might have told it.
Maybe. What did the leftover turkey say? Make me a sandwich. It's cute.
Yeah.
Fruit comes from a fruit tree. Where does turkey come from? A pole tree. And then last but not feast. See what I did there?
Oh, Jesus. Shut up.
I know you probably want me to stop telling Thanksgiving jokes, but it's not like I can just quit cold turkey. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
That should keep you humored until next week.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a fantastic week.
Stay safe.
Stay hungry.
Bye.